This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mr. Durham, I hope you had a good weekend. What's going on?
Real nice, Pack. Thanks. Good to be with you and excited about this week. Got a lot to go, including some championships to talk about and a great show here today with a lot of great guests coming up. And I guess we kind of start with champions in golf, right? Because Duke won the ACC Women's Championship over the weekend, winning the match play event against Florida State. So congratulations to Coach Brooks and the Blue Devils on another title, right?
Number 22 for those counting at home for Duke women's golf. That is more than men's basketball. Let that marinate a second. Let that one marinate a second. The job Dan Brooks has done. We just had Dan on the show. But the ladies take care of business up there in beautiful Sedgefield, a very historic spot when you talk about the history of this league. Great golf course. Folks having a good time. And Duke knocks off Florida State, by the way, Wes. It wasn't a Duke-Wake Forest deal as we expected.
Right.
Florida State upset the Deeks in the semis. And then Duke just says, hey, thank you very much. Gina Kim making everything she looks at. As usual, she'll join us later in the program. But again, congratulations to the Duke women's golf program. They take care of business. They win another ACC championship. And very impressive. But I'll tell you what, Florida State out of sight, Wake out of sight. Virginia Tech had a great run on Friday to see who was going to secure that fourth spot. The Hokies were in a good chance, a good spot. Then here comes Virginia. So really great stuff. If you're up there at Sedgefield, watch it. The weather was perfect, and Duke takes care of business and wins another ACC title.
By the way, if you just saw the camera wobble here a moment ago, did you see that? Did you see that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you see that, Pack?
Yeah.
I've got an extra help here this morning in the office. I got an extra help. He's about a 12-pound mountain lion.
40% mountain lion. You need to get that cat, put him back up on that stick you had him on this weekend trying to chase birds before he takes the
network. Dude, he climbed up there. Wait a second.
Now, listen, your pet skills are diminished because your cat – it's knocking off camera. Now, if Meg could get a shot of my pets, here's how they're supposed to behave during a show. Now, see how my pets are doing? You got big boy Chester, who's 12 and a half, in the green room on the leather chair, knocked out.
Yeah.
And brother Fuller down here by my feet, and he's sound asleep, too. That's how you treat Wes. They're supposed to be calm, cool, and collected from 7 to 10. At 10:05, when there's breaking news, let Clifford D. Cat go crazy. Scratch somebody's eyeballs. Dude, that thing's 40% mountain lion. It's a problem. That's a problem. Dogs, well, no problem. Cats, a problem.
He's been a handful this weekend now because, I mean, he climbed up on top of the Blue Jay box, and I posted the video. Birds were getting after him on Saturday. He wasn't having any of it, man. He was up there to win.
He got
you
nothing.
Saw that now. I'm telling you.
I saw him get nothing.
Yeah.
Absolute zip. Yeah. Zero.
Yeah.
Shut up by Clifford D.
Here we go. Let's go live to the Blue Jay box in the backyard.
This. Is this a
problem? Watch the birds. Here they come. Hey, you think my man's having any of that? You guys won't get close to me.
I don't see him doing anything other than causing more problems.
Well, because they're not getting close. They won't get close. They taunt him, and he's like, yeah, whatever.
They're trying to scratch his eyeballs at what they're trying to do. Like, hey, dude, get off the home. Look at him, just wasting time up there. He doesn't listen.
God.
You can't talk to him. Again, the difference between
cats
and dogs.
No, he's got an attitude, man.
Yeah, he got an attitude, all right. 40% mountain lion, I'm telling you.
He is all over the place with Miss Vicky on the road. Holy smokes. Wow. No. It's crazy. Anyway, so congratulations to Duke on winning the ACC Golf Championship. Wasn't the only ACC winner in golf this weekend. How about Stewart Cink at the RBC Heritage Pack? 47 years of age. Come on.
47 years young and just wearing out all those flat bellies, huh? No, Stewart's been on with it. You know, he can just golf his ball. Now, this is a great golf course.
Yep.
For anybody who's been down to Harbortown, you know what we're talking about. You got to know where you're hitting it. It's small greens. He was tremendous. You know what? He played really well the week before at Augusta. And, you know, Charlie Reimer, kind of told us before Augusta, man, I tell you what, old Stuart Sink's playing, man. Keep an eye on him. And he played well at Augusta and just completely dominated at Harbortown. So just a great win. And that's the third time he's won there. Got the plaid jacket. Everybody out there in the sound honking the horns and the boats. And for folks who have ever been down there, that is, at number one, a beautiful place. Great, great golf course. And really a terrific win for a really good dude. So we're living vicariously through our ACC ties with Stuart Sink taking care of business over the weekend.
All right, let's pivot to soccer. We crowned the automatic qualifier, Mike Noonan and Clemson at Riggs Field. Beat Pitt 2-0 on Saturday, and they scored in the 17th minute and then added a marker in the second half, and Clemson is on with the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament.
Hey, Wes, that wasn't a one-goal W. You were preaching that last week. You thought it would be 1-0, 2-1, 3-2. Wrong. Clemson seems to have Pitt's number, though, don't they? I mean, we had Dexter on, who I thought was just terrific. Student-athlete from Pittsburgh, great player. He joined us Friday and talked about unfinished business and, you know, maybe some business with Clemson, because the Tigers have now beaten a number one-ranked Pitt team twice this season, right? And they also knocked off a number one Wake Forest team. So three wins against number one-ranked teams, and it would not surprise me when the NCAA seedings come out, that Clemson's the number one overall seed. Again, men's soccer, women's soccer in this league, we've been bragging about it almost ad nauseum, is so good. And the Tigers are tough in their place now. They get down to historic Riggs Field. Yep. I think it's now, 25 consecutive without a loss. They are really, really good in that joint. So, again, congratulations. Yep. Clemson takes care of business and wins it.
Yep. So – We will cover with golf. Gina Kim, as Pac mentioned, is going to join us about 8:15 this morning. We've got Justin Anderson from North Carolina's lacrosse program is going to visit with us. Looking to talk with him at 8:30. And then Mike Adler, you'll see a package on Mike Adler. We talked to him a couple of weeks ago. Looking forward to this package, talking about just kind of what he went through with that shark bite back in few years ago in the state of Florida. So we got all that, and
Wes,
the man,
get him,
he ain't having it today.
Put him in the basement, put him back up there in the Blue Jay perch before he takes our network off.
What are you thinking,
thinking he's a problem? Look at those claws.
You want to go get after Packer a little bit? Look at the claws. The claws are out too, Pack.
I'm pro dog. I'm pro dog. I love pets, but I'm pro dog if I have my pick.
Yeah,
by the way,
you and Clifford are kind of matching.
Yeah we're matching
your shirts,
right? Yeah, this shirt looks real good with blood stains. That cat gets near me. by the way, Michael Adler, we had him on, a week and a half ago? And we talked about the shark bite.
I tried to tell him.
The second your big toe hits the water, you are the visiting team. And I saw a video this weekend. In fact, I put it on my Twitter account. I'm trying to get off of Twitter. I actually put it on Twitter to make a point. Sometimes it's not the fins that get you. There's a dude landing a plane, Cocoa Beach. They're doing an air show this weekend. Dude landed a plane right there off the coast. I mean, I'm telling you, man, people go to the beach, good luck. Head on a swivel. High, low, fins, airplanes. I mean, hey, whatever makes you happy. You know, I like the mountains. Some folks like the beach.
Yeah.
Just saying. You do what you got to do.
I hear you.
But goodness gracious. I mean, it'd be one thing. If you found me in the water, I'd be looking down at my toes looking for something moving. I don't need to see an aircraft coming in the skin over the top of my bald head. Good grief.
Yeah.
What a nightmare.
But you got some big time vacation set up, and you mean to tell me you're going to go to this, you know, exclusive resort, you know, island, and you're not going to get in the water?
Well, this, you can tell who runs our household based on where we're going on vacation. I'm just going to tell you this, because I am going to be surrounded by water. And it's like, man, I tell you what, you know I love you girls, because to take my big butt, stick me on an island somewhere for an extended period of time, it is not going to be pretty for the locals and for my family. But they're excited, and we're going to make a road trip next month, and go out somewhere in the middle of nowhere and be on some island.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll send you pictures.
Great.
I mean, you're the king of selfies. I'll send you a picture of me out there in the deep, deep blue sea. Just what I need to be doing.
A couple of years ago, we had the ACC Network hat make the trip through Europe. So maybe we get the ACC Network hat make the trip through some exclusive resort island.
Yeah, I will bring the ACC Network hat, which, by the way, we really wished was you could buy one. Number one. Number two, mm-hmm. I'll even bring the Packer and Durham hat and give us some exclusive footage. Ooh, and we'll tie that into the show. All right.
Got it. All right. Big show coming up. We got a lot to cover on a Monday. Presented by New York Life. Right, Clifford? Yeah. About had enough of this.
Let that cat in the basement.
I got to get on the run, man.
Yeah.
I got to go get some birds. All right. When we come back, we'll dive into a week of football. Huh? I mean, Miami went through their spring practice on Saturday, and we got a bunch of games coming up this weekend. Yeah, we got a ton of spring games. This is almost like the last weekend in April is kind of the crescendo to spring football. So we will talk about what we got ahead, but also dive into what we need.
And that should be a reminder to the good folks at the University of Louisville after the idea that was presented here on Packer and Durham to Coach Satterfield and the athletic director Vince Tyre that – just looking ahead, just saying, April the 30th of next year, the last Saturday of April of 22, would be a great time for the Louisville spring game. And tied into the ACC Network, we'll go up there and help them out in any shape, way, or form. Stay there for the next week, rolls right in the Kentucky Derby. Great cross promotion.
Yeah.
Just an idea. Clifford stays home, does not allow allowed to join us with the horses.
Okay. All right. Very good. When we come back, we'll dive into football. The Monday show is underway. Miami spring game was on Saturday. Matt Barry, Mike Golic Jr., Chris Budden, they got their eyes full. There was a lot to look at with the Canes, including a new play caller in the fourth quarter. Back after this.
Packer and Durham is presented by New York Life, helping people act on their love for over 175 years.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We got a lot to cover, including football. We had a little spring football this weekend on the network with the Canes. And, Wes, I tell you, I know D'Eriq King couldn't go. He's got the rehab. Looks like he's on schedule for the return. But that quarterback room at Miami looks pretty sweet now. I know it's a spring game. You can't get too high or too low based on what you see. Everything's vanilla for the most part. But I tell you, between Garcia and Van Dyke and you throw in D'Eriq King, they look like they've got three dudes that can sling it and can play under center. Looks at, again, snapshot of one afternoon. I'm just I'm put it in perspective here. But they look like they got some guys in that quarterback room that they can play with.
Well, you were watching quarterbacks, and I was watching Charleston Rambo. I think he's Rambo can be a dynamic game changer, right? I mean, I think that's a guy. D. Wiggins is still on that roster, a guy who can really run. Now, we all know, you know, Brevin Jordan went to the next level. But you start thinking about kind of where Miami is with Knighton, Chaney returning at running back. You start looking a little bit at kind of how does all this fit, right? Cameron Harris, Knighton, and Chaney were all there a year ago. Your offensive line is kind of solidified, it looked like. I thought the quarterbacks looked good part and parcel because the offensive line helped them out, Pack. And you're right. Van Dyke and Garcia looked the part, but we all know it's QB1's job, right? But I was impressed with Rambo. I think that they can get vertical. The real questions as we go through the offseason may be about, you know, kind of what will they find in their spring evaluation to fill some of those holes on defense, right?
Well, that will be part of it. I'll still go back to the offensive line. And like I said, I don't draw major conclusions watching anybody's spring game because it's so generic and so vanilla for the most part. And listen, defenses are going to be pretty simplistic too. So I still want to see that offensive line develop, but I do like their skill guys. I think they got wide receivers. I think they've got backs. I think they've got multiple quarterbacks. It appears that way. Again, we're sitting here in the middle of April. But that offensive line will be a question for me moving forward. Can they stay number one in one piece, stay healthy, and will they improve? To me, Miami and Florida State have been kind of battling this now for the last couple of years. I think Miami's ahead of Florida State in this department on the offensive front. But to me, for Miami to get to where they want to be, those guys have got to be really good, have to be really good. And I think they've got enough athletes on the defensive side, Wes, that they will figure that out as the year goes on. But the skill folks, the speed, size, backs, wide receivers. You mentioned Rambo, the transfer from Oklahoma. You knew he was a really good player when you saw him in Soonerland. So I think there's a lot to be encouraged about if you're a Miami football fan. Coming off a season last year in which I thought Manny kind of showed some things where you said, hey, listen, you know, that is an improved football team. Did they get to where they want to go? No, but that's the part of the journey. So I think if you're Miami, you are pleasantly encouraged and enthused of what potentially could be in place. And, you know, you just already feels like a Miami, North Carolina, Virginia Tech kind of thing in the Coastal. Just feels that way. Now, Pitt's got their game coming up this week. We'll learn a little bit more. You know, Duke's got work to do. Bronco Mendenhall at Virginia's doing their thing. There will be others that will stick their nose in their business. But on the surface, it appears that a North Carolina, Miami, Virginia Tech combo is really going to be fun to watch this fall.
Yeah, and the other issue here too. Now, by the way, for the record, Team Hurricane beat Team Ibis 27-19. I always like to make sure we get the official, you know, get the spring game score out there. Because as you always say, you put so much into the spring game. In terms of who wins and who loses.
The only one, now, that mattered with that were the guys playing and Drew Brooks. That would be my guess. And Drew Brooks, of course, is one of our fearless, smart people up there in Bristol. And
the.
Yeah. Well, you know, D. Brooks probably knew that somebody winning by eight was a big deal, even in the spring game. Just saying.
Okay. But if you're Miami, okay, you got the run game. I'm going to tell you, I think the offensive line will be better.
Has to be.
I want to see where it's going defensively. I want to know a little bit. I mean, remember now, that's Jalen Phillips, Rousseau opted out, Quincy Roche. I mean, there were so many guys back there in the backpack. It's a deep group period, but that's still a wealth of guys that won't be there. Just from a production standpoint, and Phillips and in Roche.
Yeah, there's some Sunday dudes that you just rattled off there that have been excited when this NFL draft gets cranked up here in a couple of weeks. But, you know, Miami's recruited well. They've got some animals on that side, and I think they're going to be – they may not be NFL ready today, but I think that part will improve as the year goes on. Now, if you're Miami, though, you know, your opener's against Alabama. I checked out some of the Tide in their spring game Saturday. They're going to be tremendous. They always are. There's no reason to think otherwise.
Yeah.
But I think that could be a good thing for Miami because, you know what, you're going to know in week one. And you look at their schedule. We've talked about this. Miami's got to be ready to go in September. This is not going to be we're going to kind of ease into this ACC thing. And, you know, we may be the team to beat in the Coastal. Maybe it's North Carolina. Maybe it's Virginia.
Right.
They're going to know where they are by the time we get to October 1. And, you know, but that first game, they're going to get punched right in the nose. Now, you're going to find out about the character and the want to about Miami football in week one when they take on Alabama. And, you know, I think if you're going to play Bama, I'd rather play him in week one, to be honest with you, because the only time you'd really want to play him is the last game of the season because it means you're playing them for a national championship. But given what Alabama lost, I this is a perfect time to play them if you're Miami. So we'll see where this goes. Yeah. I mean, this is what's going to be a talking point all summer long down in Coral Gables.
Okay, you mentioned the Alabama game. They come back from Alabama, and then they play four straight home games, does Miami. They play Appalachian State.
Won't be easy.
They play Michigan State. Appalachian will not be easy. Michigan State will not be easy. Then they get the Blue Devils of Central Connecticut State from New Britain, Connecticut. And then a 5-day turnaround to get Virginia on a Thursday night. Now, you talk about an unknown, the Cavaliers. I mean, we know Brennan Armstrong. We know some guys are there. But, I mean, that's a lot. Bronco Mendenhall, disappointed, I know, with the way last season went. They had some moments. But Virginia is a team that kind of has to answer the bell a little bit on the bounce back. And then after Virginia, they get a bye week before they go to Chapel Hill in mid-October. So I think you're spot on when you say in the first 5 weeks, we're going to know a whole lot about the University of Miami and the way 2021 is going to fold for them.
Yeah, I think that the tone of their season will be set early. I really do. I mean, and again, Appalachian State, don't snicker. I'm just telling you, those boys up on the mountain in Boone, North Carolina can play. And they'll be excited to see Miami. Remember, Miami went up to Boone a couple years ago and wore the Mountaineers out. Mm-hmm. But the Appalachian State's got a tremendous program. That will be a good test. And again, you get any ACC Big Ten matchup, is going to be a thriller. And for Michigan State, it's kind of a rebuild process there. But a great opportunity for Sparty to go, hey, guess what? You're going to have to deal with us in the Big Ten East. So, again, I think Miami's schedule is out of sight. You get the beast right out of the gate with Alabama. Regardless of outcome, you better be ready to play the next week with App State. Michigan State will be a physical encounter. So, right out of the gate, you're going to know about the Canes. And that's why I kept saying offensive line's got to stay healthy. Defensive guys are going to have to improve. But there's a lot of pieces to like about what the Canes have coming back. But we're going to know a lot about Miami when we get cranked up October 1st. I'm just telling you, you're going to kind of know, hey, guess what, boys? You're going to have to deal with those dudes in the Coastal. Or they could be a wounded team and you go, man, you know what happened to Miami? So I think there's a lot of pressure and emphasis of, hey, you better be ready to go if you're Manny Diaz. When we talked to him a couple weeks ago, I even talked about, hey, I don't have to tell these guys anything. They know what the challenge is right out of the gate in 21. So I just hope that, knock on wood, we can have people in the stands where teams can feast on energy, because for Miami, that will be very important given the fact you talked about those four home games right after Alabama. Mm-hmm. And that will be really important, I think, for Miami to kind of generate some momentum as they can roll in October and possibly win that Coastal, because they are going to be a factor, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We mentioned Van Dyke and Garcia. Tyler Van Dyke, 13-19 for 105 yards and a touchdown. Jake Garcia, 19-26, 253 and two scores. Now, Manny Diaz did look really good. Manny Diaz has Rhett Lashley as his offensive coordinator. But we also got to see the emergence of De'Eriq King as a play caller on Saturday. And got to be honest with you, Pac, I thought King had some ball plays drawn up now.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
10 pass plays, three run plays, two touchdowns.
I'm not worried about that, because let me tell you something. If we get into the fall and we're talking about De'Eriq King and his play calling ability, Miami's got a problem. De'Eriq King needs to be under center. All right, that's where he needs to be. Now, he might want to put that headset on and hat backwards and think that's cool and all that stuff in April. That's all fine and good. We hope his rehab's going great. But for Miami to be Miami, De'Eriq King needs to be under center. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Yeah. All right. Very good. We have got a huge weekend of football coming up here on ACC Network. The spring schedule rolls to a flying finish here on this last weekend of April. And, I mean, it's kind of a triple header. Starts Friday. We got a Saturday triple header and a Friday night game. Roddy Jones and I'll have Georgia Tech's spring game from the Flats starting at 6 o'clock. Then at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning, Chris Cotter and Mark Herzlick cover Boston College. At 1 o'clock, Roddy and I will be joined by Eric Wood for the blue and gold game at Pittsburgh. And then at 3 o'clock, Matt Schick and E.J. Manuel have Sam Howell, speaking of slinging it around the yard, and North Carolina. All the spring football on ACC Network, presented for you by GEICO and, of course, streaming live on the ESPN app. We'll come back and talk about two of those schools that have tilts this weekend. Georgia Tech on Friday night, BC on Saturday morning, as Packer and Durham rolls on this Monday morning. Beautiful Keenan Stadium, historic Grant Field, and questions. We'll have it for you. New York Life sponsors our Monday program. Great to have you with us on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
Packer and Durham.
Welcome back to Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
Like that. New York Life.
Fancy.
What a way to start your Monday.
Way to go, Meg. Positive negativity on Monday morning, by the way, because I noticed when we came out of the bump there, we had old Wes standing on the 18th tee at St. Andrews. That was nice. Well done.
Big, wide fairway. Can't miss it.
Needed it to be. Needed it to be big and wide.
Can't miss it. Yeah. Unless you're Ian Baker Finch on the first hole and just snap hooking one OB. Almost impossible, much less a professional doing it. God, seriously, you couldn't stand on that tee and hit one OB if you tried. Guy's a professional golfer. Snap hooks one OB in the open. No, oh, I'm sorry. You're hitting three, Ian. And going to miss the cut. Let's go spring football. We'll get away from
I made spring par. Football. I do have to. I made par. I made par at 18.
Flip so wedge, go. Man. Driver, flip wedge, two putts. Yeah. Where's the pub? That's what you do over there at St. Andrews. Layup all day.
Off you go.
Yeah.
All right. We told you, triple header of spring football here on ACC Network on Saturday. And Georgia Tech's Friday night tradition continues. One that started a handful of years ago. And gotta be honest, I kind of like it. The Friday night, you turn the lights on at Bobby Dodd. You're in Midtown Atlanta. And Jeff Collins gets ready for his third year. Look, everything centers around the quarterback play. In this particular discipline pack, I look at Jeff Sims, and when he was really good last year, they were really good. But I think they've got a battery with Sims and Jahmyr Gibbs that could be really, really good in Atlanta.
No, I think they are really, really good. But that's not my question for Georgia Tech. I'm not worried about them offensively. I'm not. I am concerned on the defensive side. They've got to be better. You can't give up 37 a game and go, hey, we're good here, right? No. No. Mm-hmm. No, no, no. Look at these numbers, Wes. To me, hey, Georgia Tech fans, Jeff Collins is building. The foundation has been set. Recruiting's gone out of sight. They've gotten better and better than all that routine. But for Georgia Tech to take the next step, to me, this is the category. That 36.8 cannot be anywhere in the neighborhood in 21. Has to be better.
Yeah,
you've got to be better than that. So to me, that's the answer.
I feel obligated to tell you the 1999 team had Joe Hamilton at quarterback and averaged 500 plus yards a game and dang near 40 points a game, by the way. Collins has meticulously built through recruiting. They have used transfer portals and things like this, and it's going to be interesting to see kind of how things materialize. But defensively, you're right. If you go back and kind of look at who they were a year ago, though, Pac, they bring back a ton on defense. Now, you get guys like Charlie Thomas, you got Tariq Carpenter, you've got veteran guys who've been back there two and maybe even 3 years in that secondary. David Curry is the most prominent player you lost from a season ago. That's it. Everybody else, for the most part, is back. And to your point, if experience pays off, that could be a good marker for the Jackets.
It has to pay off. Wes, you can't sit there and go, hey, we got everybody back. Well, yeah, that's great. You gave up 37 a game on it. Mm-hmm. They have to improve on that side. And the fact that they have now understand Jeff Collins' system, they've been in the deal, they know what's coming down the pike, they have to be better on that side of the football. And if they are, like I said, I don't worry about them offensively. I think they've got dudes, quarterback, running back, that routine. Yeah. I think they're going to score points. But if they can start figuring out a way – hey, if that number goes from 37 a game to 24 a game, how many more games are you going to win? A bunch more. That's the answer to your question. And 24 is not great either.
Yeah.
But my point is, hey, if you're going to get to the next level in the league, that's where it's got to start for Georgia Tech. You've got to be able to start getting off the field and giving your offensive dudes the ball and say, guess what, guys? Go score. We got you. We got your back on this. But you just can't get into races where, hey, first to 40 wins. That only lasts but so long. That's not going to work in this league. So you're going to have to defend. So Georgia Tech, to me, what I'm going to be watching Friday night when I get done with the radio show, probably catch you guys in the second quarter, halftime, is, all right, defensively, what are you seeing? Again, I don't learn a whole lot from spring games, but you do get a sense of who's flying around the football, right? And I think that's what you want to see Friday night if you're a Georgia Tech fan. Who's flying around the football, making some plays on the defensive side? At least that's from my perspective, that's what I'm looking for.
All right, now here are some of the names that you're going to need to keep in mind, maybe not necessarily for Friday night, but as you think about Georgia Tech going to the fall. And these guys are all back. Jaquan Griffin, Jamon Brooks, Zamari Walton. Now here's the secondary we were talking about. Zamari Walton, Trace Willing, Wanya Thomas, Tariq Carpenter, all back. I mean, that's – you bring back a lockstep secondary, plus you bring back Quez Jackson at linebacker. Jordan Dominick has had moments for him. It's going to be really, really interesting to see kind of what Andrew Thacker and Jeff Collins have got developed on that side of the ball. If and they're going to need to be better, as we've shown you statistically. Then if you can match it with the battery of Sims and Gibbs, Pack, running the rock, and the offensive line, which Collins has said has been a building project for 2 years, but he feels like their offensive line is turning the corner. If that's the key, then you play good defense, and Jahmyr Gibbs has a chance. You know that. I mean, we saw that kid a year ago. Jahmyr Gibbs has got a chance to be a really, really good running back in this league.
He is a good back. You don't have to convince me of any of that stuff. Sims is going to be a dude. I don't worry about their quarterback. I don't worry about their backs. Their offensive line should be better. My concern is, can they be a good dude? You don't have to be great. That's the thing. You don't have to be a world beater. If you are tremendous, just be good. Because last year, that defense was not good enough for them to win games on a consistent basis. For Georgia Tech to get back in terms of, hey, this is part of the stepping stone. This is year three for Coach Collins. That defense, with all that experience, now has to say, guess what? The game is slowed down. We get it. Let's go make some plays. And if they stay healthy, hopefully they'll be improved. But you can't give up 37 a game and expect success. You just can't do it. That is not a recipe to sit there and say, guess what? We're going bowling. That won't work.
Well, Jackets are going to open with Northern Illinois at home and then play a first-ever meeting with the Owls of Kennesaw State, who have done a really nice job under former Georgia Tech assistant Brian Bohannon in FCS. And so they've got two games that they should win. And then that third game is a road trip to Clemson, Pack, on the 18th, and then Carolina and Pitt behind it.
It's tough.
That's a three-game stretch that could really tell you where Georgia Tech is before we ever get to mid-October.
Well, and to me, that emphasized the first two. You know, for a program that's starting to get back on its feet, and now, hey, these are starting to get all of Jeff's guys. Defensively, they got a better – to me, what that tells you is you better be 2-0 before the Tigers are rolling in, right? I mean, that, you got to have two under your belt – before you worry about that back-to-back-to-back ACC gauntlet, because those are three good clubs you're going to see with Clemson, North Carolina, and Pittsburgh. That's no joke.
Yeah, sure are. Let's turn it to Boston College here in this segment. The Eagles almost have the same scenario with Georgia Tech, and that is, can they get better defensively? And they lost some dudes on that side of the ball to the draft. But we know offensively – Jeff Hafley has changed the dynamic of what BC is. Now, can they match it on that other side, Pack?
I'm going to be honest with you. I know Jeff Hafley was only there 1 year. I thought he did an incredible job in year one. Mm-hmm. To me, BC is a little further ahead than Georgia Tech. But I think what Jeff inherited was a much better situation than what Jeff Collins inherited. So the uphill climb was certainly steeper in Atlanta than it was in Chestnut Hill. But I was really impressed with Jeff Hafley and the job he did. And getting Dracovic back, just getting him in the mix, and we saw what kind of year Phil had. I think BC could be one of those teams that, you know what, people aren't going to be excited to play them. I think the physicality and the kind of way he wants to play, the use of the tight ends, big backs, Dracovic's really good. They've been able to have pretty good wide receivers. Offensive line is always good at Boston College. They seem to have dudes on the defensive side. Now they can get more consistency there. I think that's the tie-in with Georgia Tech. Can they get better on that side? I think they will. But I can totally get why people are excited at Chestnut Hill, because Jeff Hafley in year one showed you, guess what? I got a plan. I know what we're doing. Now let's get to work. I think they inherited that blue-collar mentality, which seemed to make sense. But they were more Air BC than we expected last year was. I think that was the one surprise from my perspective with Hafley, that you were expecting, all right, you know, we're so used to how Steve Adazio played. And even before Adazio got there, BC just kind of lined up and smashed your face mask in and laughed at you and said, guess what? We're going to run the same play the next 10 times, see if you can stop it. And they threw the ball, they threw it all over the yard last year. And it was like, whoa, what's going on here in BC? So I know the folks in Boston are excited about what the Eagles are doing. I can't wait to see what Hafley does for an encore, because he impressed me like nobody's business in year one.
A little more Air BC than we expected. Were a lot more Air BC.
Right? I mean, it was unbelievable watching them play. It was almost like an optical illusion, so you're so used to seeing BC line up and, you know, three tight ends. I mean, we're just going to pound you. And your Kovacs out there just tossing all over the yard. And they were good. I mean, they got guys now. So BC could be one of those teams that nobody's going to talk about. And yet, with a little bit more improvement on the defensive side, they could be a problem. They could be a real problem.
Sure. And you know what? Five of the first eight are on the road. But they get a home game with Missouri in late September and NC State. And then at the end, they go Virginia Tech at home, at Georgia Tech, Florida State, and Wake at home. It's a really weird six-game schedule for Jeff Hafley in his second year at Chestnut Hill. Going to be interesting to watch Boston College.
The Missouri game pops out at you, because I get a sense with what Drink's trying to do in Columbia, what Hafley's trying to do at BC. You got two teams kind of like on the same path. That they're not where they want to be. There's still an uphill climb, but yet you saw some things last year from both teams in their respective leagues. You went, man, they're a lot better than I thought they were going to be. So that's a really interesting ACC-SEC matchup, one that probably won't get talked a lot about in the summer, but deserves some attention, because BC-Missouri would be a good one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, sit tight. When we come back, there are two other schools that have spring tilts this weekend we're going to talk about, and both have veteran quarterback play. One is back for year five. One is back for year three and has been the man since he started. Coach Brown and Sam Howell, Coach Narduzzi, and one of our favorites, Kenny Pickett. We'll talk about the Panthers and Tar Heels next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
In Durham on a Monday, 844-SAY-ACCN, New York Life taking
presented
care of business.
By
no, I just said New York
you.
Life taking care
go.
Of business.
Thank you. Yeah,
that's good dog that's walking right. music right there, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Mm-hmm.
We get that. I'll just get that. In my
what time
are
you walking this morning? We're walking at 4 this morning. Yeah. We make it past the mailbox. Hannah Steelman called.
No. You got to understand something. I will not run past the mailbox. I will walk past the mailbox. So Hannah Steelman, the outstanding steeplechase champion from NC State, told her last week, my concept of running ends at the mailbox. When I reach the mailbox, I'm done. Time to tap out, move back home.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. That's how we roll. That's how we roll. All right. More spring game football coming up. Good. We got good ones too.
Yep. We're headed to Pittsburgh on Saturday morning. Eric Wood, Roddy Jones, and I'll have coverage of the blue and gold game for you from Heinz Field. Kenny Pickett's return and his announcement last season that he would come back to play a fifth year at Pittsburgh kind of buoys your optimism about where the Panthers might be, because if you take everything collectively that they put together late in the season, tell you what, you got to feel pretty good about maybe where this squad might be. Now, they have lost a lot of talent on the defensive side.
Yep.
But Randy Bates at the coordinator spot. And maybe, Pack, this is where we see the offense carry the defense a little bit for Narduzzi's team this year, at least until that defense gets comfortable. We talk about that with one or two schools seemingly every year. In this case, I think the conversation fits pretty well.
You know, Pitt and Miami have a lot of similarities, don't they? As far as questions going into the fall. Quarterback, absolutely. Experience, can play, makes plays. Got guys you can run, got guys you can throw it to. Offensive line, okay. And both teams have defensive stars that you're going to go, man, whatever happened to so-and-so? Pitt lost a bunch, Miami mm-hmm. lost a bunch. So that, to me, will be part of the conversation when you start talking about Pitt football 21, is who do they replenish with, right? Is it a reload? Pat's always got a defensive mindset as far as how he puts together a team. They're going to lose some dudes that you're going to hear their names coming up here in a couple weeks to the NFL who were really big-time great players. I mean, not good, great players.
Right.
So I thought Pitt's defense last year, when they were zoned in and dialed in, man, they were entertaining. They were fun. They were flying around. You couldn't block them. They were sacking everybody. My man Paris Ford left early. So that, to me, is going to be the question mark for Pitt moving forward. How do they replenish on the defensive side of a bunch of – I'm talking about a handful of NFL dudes. That will be a big question mark. But having Kenny Pickett back gives you hope that, guess what, maybe we just outscore people for a while.
But, Pac, they also have the most experienced quarterback. I mean, this is the guy. I mean, look – today, 13 of 14 quarterbacks return in the ACC for this season. This is the most experienced guy. 36 starts already under his belt. A productive quarterback. You know, Taysir Mack is back. They got other transfer wide receivers. They've got guys. Now, for all the expectations we had a year ago about how good they could be on defense, isn't it okay for us to have some expectations this year about how good they might be offensively?
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Addison's another guy that was a freshman last year that was just tremendous. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had an impact with a bunch of guys that can catch the football. He was a guy almost every Saturday. He went, wow. I mean, he was a wide receiver U candidate a bunch last year. So I expect him to have an awesome year. But I'm not worried about Pitt offensively. You know, to me, the question mark going into the spring and into the fall is how good will they be on the defensive side. The fact that Pat Narduzzi is a defensive-minded specialist tells me, all right, he's going to have to concoct something here, because from a physical standpoint, I'd be hard-pressed to believe that Pitt will be as good as they were a year ago, physically. Now, doesn't mean a guy mm-hmm. who's a freshman or sophomore doesn't develop, turns out to become the next fill-in-the-blank. But that I need to see. And that, to me, is going to be the question mark for Pitt.
Yeah, 15 starters back, 8 on offense, 6 on defense, and a specialist for Pat Narduzzi as he gets ready to start the – the spring game is Saturday morning, by the way, here on ACC Network. When you look at North Carolina, it's going to be a lot of Sam Howell, and rightly so. But behind Sam Howell on the offensive side of the ball, Pack, Mack Brown and Phil Longo probably having to spend some time – sorting out who's who, and this spring about, okay, we saw Josh Downs, we saw Choffrey Brown, we saw guys here or there. Carolina's probably spent a good bit of the spring sorting out who fits where and, you know, who's going to be our guy.
Well, North Carolina fans might go back and watch the Orange Bowl, because when you had all these stars on the offensive side opt out, you had to shake your head. I'm sure Mack Brown was shaking his head going, hey, come on, let's go play one more. But that opened the door for other guys to step up and play on a big stage. When North Carolina played in their first Orange Bowl against Texas A&M, and I thought you started to already see some signs of life of, hey, that guy could be the next star. You know, who's that number so-and-so? You know, so we're going to find more out on Saturday. But North Carolina, again, Max recruited so well in such a short period of time. I'm going to go back again. Everybody's going to talk about Sam Howell and the offense, and they lost the two great backs. But, you know, that line's intact. So when you got a great offensive line and a quarterback that knows what he's doing, yeah, I think they're going to find answers at wide receiver and running back. The question to me will be, for North Carolina to be a championship-level team, championship, defensively, are they ready to take another step? That was a question a year ago, and they had still a couple lapses where – Florida State game, which didn't show up in the first half, end up losing that one. The Virginia game is always a bugaboo game for Mack Brown, especially when it's in Charlottesville. I don't think he's ever won there. But for North Carolina to get to the point where, hey, we are the Coastal champs, let's go to Charlotte and go play for an ACC title, defensively, they've got to get another step better than they were a year ago. They've got a lot of guys back, Wes. A lot of guys with experience. There's a reason North Carolina's going to get hyped like nobody's business as a preseason top 10 team. They're also going to have to get that noise out of their ears too, because, you know, that's kind of a hollowed ground here of late for the Heels. So there's going to be a ton of people patting them on the back, high-fiving, you know, Howell for Heisman. This is a top 10 team. We're ready for Clemson. Let's win a title. Haven't won one since 80. There's going to be a lot of barking between now and August, and we'll see how North Carolina handles it, because there's a lot of hype coming their way.
All right. Now, is it fair we start with schedules, because it is a Friday night in Blacksburg?
Humongous.
I mean, right out of the gate for two schools, we're going to get an answer Labor Day weekend.
Absolutely right. I keep telling you, you can start waiting for your magazines, Phil Still, and all that stuff to come out. You start looking at the first week of ACC football schedules. There are some great games. In my opinion, this will be the one that isn't discussed enough. And it's a conference game. Everybody will talk about the sexy non-conference games and all that stuff. Clemson, Georgia, Miami, Alabama, all that. No doubt. Listen, it's going to get hyped like nobody's business. But this game, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, in my opinion, is the most important one of that group, because this is a coastal showdown, and the winner is going to love life, and the loser is going to go, we've got a lot of work to do, because somebody's starting 0-1 that expects to be in Charlotte in December. Guarantee you. That's a guaranteed lock.
What does it mean, though, in the coastal? The crazy, chaotic coastal.
Well, you got to win that one. That's a huge game for Justin Fuente. That's a really big game for North Carolina, because I'm telling you, the Heels are going to get a lot of top 10 love. And you go to Blacksburg, and again, knock on wood, we have fans in the stands. We know what a great venue, Lane Stadium is. And to start things off, everybody getting back together for the first time. I mean, they had nobody in the stadium last year. Remember, a couple hundred people show up. You let that thing get going, man. Enter Sandman on a Friday night, North Carolina, Virginia Tech. They've played some unbelievable games. Matter of fact, last time Mack Brown was there, was that crazy 19 overtime game that nobody wanted to make a kick and win the game. I mean, that thing was insane. So I suspect you get ready for that one. That to me is the juice game in week one of the ACC. Again, Clemson, Georgia, and Charlotte will be awesome. Miami, Alabama, go through Louisville, Ole Miss. There's a bunch of them in week one. But that game right there is the one that's going to have the biggest impact in the league. It is.
All right. 1 hour of Packer and Durham's Monday is in the books, presented by New York Life. And we go to the 8 o'clock hour that features the ACC women's golf medalist Gina Kim of champion Duke, and UNC lacrosse star Justin Anderson, all to come in the 8 o'clock hour. But when we get to the top of the hour, we go around the ACC. Valerie Cagle's on fire. Not literally, thank goodness. It just seems that way. And a big moment in Omaha for our friend Dan Fisher in Pittsburgh. 8 o'clock next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.